turn to the lesson for this morning. If you don't have a Sunday school book and you have your Bibles, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. What a tremendous lesson. You can be seated. We just gonna walk through the word this morning. Amen. You what a tremendous lesson that we have had on this morning. Amen. And it talked about a new way of life. Amen. And a particular emphasis on moral living. Amen. The opposite. Amen. Usually when you talk about morality in biblical language, amen, it is sexual immorality. Amen. Biblical, when you see this idea of morality, amen, of living, amen, it is particularly talked about sexual immorality. Amen. Because that is what characterizes the pagan culture. Amen. Those outside of Christianity. Amen. That's what characterizes them. But if we're Christians, amen, and there's a new way of living. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. There's a new way of living, and too often today Christians are identifying more with the world. I shouldn't say Christians, I should say church folk. Are identifying more with the world than they are identifying with God. But if you're not, if there's no change in your life, then chances are you're not saved. Let me say it again. If there's no change in your life, amen, Shirley Caesar say you can't meet Jesus and leave the same. Amen. Okay, and you don't find that nowhere in the Bible. Amen. Somebody have a true encounter with Christ. I'm talking about a saving encounter. Amen. With Christ, and they leave the same. Amen. Now, we've seen some leave the same. We see the rich young ruler. Amen. He came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus with his own idea of what he wanted to get from Jesus. Amen. And he left, amen, in the same mess. He left sad. He left messed up, he left unsaved, he left on the way to hell. Amen. But if you really come to know Jesus, you cannot leave the same. Amen. You can't leave the same. Let me say, and then later on in this lesson, verses 9 through 12, amen, talks about brotherly love. There's a slight change in subject, but it's not a disjointed or disconnected change. Amen. Because, amen, the same idea, amen, you can't be just sinning with your fellow man, with your brother or sister in Christ, amen, and then say that's an act of love toward them. Amen. That's not an act of love toward them. So that's it. But let me say here, That the world deals, amen. It don't take long. You look at television, amen, and you look at everything that's before us. The world deals in sex, deals in drugs, and it deals in music, amen. Yeah. Sex, drugs, and music. Somebody said women, wine, and worldliness, amen. Women, wine, and worldliness. There's sex, drugs, and music, amen. The tool, the greatest tool of the devil. Listen, if you please, I'm talking about toward the saints, amen. Because he can't get you unsaved, amen. You can't lose your salvation, so he can't get you unsaved. You're a believer. If you have believed, you are saved, amen. If you have believed, now, how do you know you believe? That's the question in and of itself. What is the assurance that I am a believer? It ain't just talking about I believe in Jesus. He said, many shall say, Lord, Lord, amen, and shall what? Bust hell wide open, Amen. On that day, he will say to them, I never knew you. Say, man, I cast out demons in your name, and I done all kind of stuff in your name. He say, I never knew you. Amen. Bible says that Judas partook in this ministry. That's what Peter said on that when gathered with the apostles in the upper room. He says, Judas, who partook in this ministry. Amen. And yet his bowels burst headlong. Amen. Amen. As he hung himself in the potter's field, he was a son of perdition. Amen. Never a part of the commonwealth. Amen. Of the Christian. Amen. Of the believer. Amen. So that's a question. Amen. And I just said that the proof that you'll say is a change in life. A life that is concerned with the things of God, motivated by the things of God, and willing to pursue them and watch the Holy Ghost work on you, changing you. Amen. Can't know him and remain the same. But the greatest tool of the devil toward the saints of God, listen, is addiction. Is addiction, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by any of them. Amen? And that's what an addiction is. An addiction is something that has mastery over you, that controls you. It doesn't matter whether it's food, doesn't matter whether it's sex, doesn't matter whether it's drugs, doesn't matter whether it's your children. Doesn't matter, you name it, whatever it is that will occupy you, whatever it is that will, watch this, that will distract you from the things of God, your job, whatever it is, sports, whatever it is, shopping, whatever it is, anything that got mastery over you, I got to go do this, I need to do this, you know, this takes me away from the things of God, that is what the devil uses to do what? To distract you from the things of God. Amen? Amen. And so, one of the things, amen, that is particular to this text, amen, one of the things and what is highlighted here is this issue of fornication. Amen? Amen. I don't know which it is as far as the lesson is concerned, whether that was a problem for the Thessalonian church, amen, whether it was coming in from outside in terms of the seaport, or whether it was something in terms of the religious paganism that was around them. But whatever it was, amen, it was something that was an element of distraction, amen. One book writer says no evidence that Luke brought back any report to Paul concerning it, but it's certain that Paul knew that this was something that threatened the faithfulness of the Thessalonians, amen? And in that Greek culture, it was very popular, amen? Every religion had some attachment, amen, to some sort of temple prostitution. Amen. And again, whenever we get outside of the Christian faith, amen, whenever we get outside of anything, even that masquerades itself as Christianity, I'm talking about, you know, now we have what we call pseudo-Christian religion. So they posit themselves as Christian, but so they gonna have Christian morality. Amen. And anything that has Judaism and stuff like that, that comes from the Bible, well, those have the biblical morality. Amen. Now, they don't have the biblical Christ, but they have the biblical morality, because this is the way that God has commanded for us to live. Now, our salvation is not packed up in the way we live, amen, because it's the way he lived that pays for our salvation. Amen. But then we live like he lived in appreciation for him saving us. So y'all got me. But anything that flows out of a biblical-based ideology is going to be It's going to have the law of Moses in it. Amen. It's going to have that. Amen. It's going to have the way you're supposed to live. We just don't count on that to save us. Amen. But you get beyond any biblical-based, amen, any biblical-based religion, and you're going to find this kind of sexual immorality. It's going to be a part and parcel of what they are doing. And that's what you are hearing today out of Hollywood when you start talking about all of this mysticism and all of this shamefulness and stuff that they do. Amen. We were talking. I was talking to a friend, and he was talking about what's this popular religion in Hollywood? Scientology. We were talking about that on Saturday. Amen. I think it was Saturday, and this the stuff that adorns it. I won't go into all of that. But at the same time, so you got this problem that when we come out of the world, church, amen, there got to be a change. A change in what's what? What's wrong and what's right. You can't call wrong right and right wrong and say you are a Christian. Amen. We trust God's word. Whatever he says is the truth. I'm already in verse 2. Because Paul said, what I commanded you, you have instruction from the Lord. You're not going to live right, church. You're not going to be able to live right or be able to overcome what you need to overcome if you don't get instruction from the Lord about living. You can't go around contradicting the Bible, talking about homosexual. Ain't nothing wrong with being a homosexual, and ain't nothing wrong. I don't understand. They just hating on those people. No, the Bible says it's wrong. God says it's wrong. And it's just wrong. And that is the conviction of the Christian. God said it, and that settles it. And so I believe it. That's it. That's got to be true of anything that God tells us. Anything that the word is clear. The truth is clear. The Bible is clear. Amen? Amen. And if you need proof on why the Bible is the word of God, we got all of that too. Amen. We got all of that too. The Bible demonstrates itself clearly to be divine in origin and not human in origin. And everybody keeps on, that's what they want to do, disprove the Bible and say the Bible ain't this and the Bible ain't that. And Paul was a chauvinist and all on and on it goes. And it needs to be demythologized and on the words go about why the Bible is not God's word. But the Bible is God's word. We are convicted of that. It reveals to us salvation. God has not left it to us to figure life out. What kind of God would it be that would be God and wouldn't our God be our creator, have purpose for us, and not reveal himself? What kind of sense does that make? And then the Bible tells us this. He's past finding out. That means he's past figuring out. You can't figure him out. You ain't going to accidentally find out who God is. God himself reveals himself to us. And then he reveals his will to us through his what? Word that he revealed to us. And so you can't just pass up God's word and say, you know, I'm just saved anyway. I'm going to heaven anyway. I had a young lady, a fella that engaged me on yesterday, and when he engaged me, I told him, you know, I'm going to watch you burn in hell unless you repent. And that's what I told him. So here comes some other young lady. You're not supposed to say nobody is going to hell. And I said, I don't know what Bible you're reading and what verse you get it out of, but the Bible is very clear that if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. That's the clarity of the scripture. Amen. And let me say this. That's the faith that we have to have, church. that we are unashamed, that we boldly proclaim the truth. Amen. That we boldly proclaim the truth. You can't be scared. Christianity is not for wimps. Jesus was not a wimp. Amen. He said things that offended people, that hurt their feelings. And that's the way it is. Amen. If we're going to stand on the word of God. If we're going to stand on the word of God. Amen. So we got to live in verse 1. We got to live for the pleasure of God. You see it? He goes on. He says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound, what? More and more. A Christian has to be, what? Growing. Why? Because you have life. Everything with physical life in it does what? It grows, right? If a plant supposed to be alive, excuse me, and it never pierced the soil, it's not alive. It comes up, and after a while, that seed, it comes up through, and you see that greenery coming up through the ground. Why? Because it's alive. And because it's alive, it's growing. It's growing. With birth, if you've been born again, must come growth. Must come change. Must come a maturation, a maturity. You can't be a Christian and something not falling off. You can't be a Christian and you have no testimony. I'm challenging you this morning. What's your testimony? What can you say to see the Lord change this? The Lord fix this. And somebody right now might need to say, Lord, save me. And then you ask, Lord, give me the evidence. Show me change working in my life. Amen. Bible says nobody can have the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. That's where life is. That's what regenerates you. That's how you are saved. By the power of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, life itself comes in you. No man having the Holy Ghost can call Jesus a curse and say his word is not true. His word is a lie. I know the Bible say homosexuality is wrong, but I'm saying ain't nothing wrong with it. You're not saved. I know the Bible says live soberly, but ain't nothing wrong with being on marijuana, drugs every day and being high. Something wrong with you. Because the Holy Ghost is, he looks at the word of God. And he tells us, look at Jesus. And he tells us, and the Holy Ghost, he superintended the word of God. That's why I'm saying. The Holy Ghost in you looks at the word of God and says the word of God is true. And it says the word of God points me to Christ because he's the living word of God. And I must live according to God's word. Amen? And so we do what? The first thing we do is we agree with God. That's what confession is. To confess your sin. To confess your sin means the word confession, homargeo, it means to agree with God. That's what it means. It's all it means, agreement. We get the word homogenized, to consist. And so we consist. God said it. That's it. That's the way it is. Amen. I haven't gotten anywhere, and I'm almost out of time. Amen. That's the way it is. And since that's the way it is, I agree. Whether I'm wrong or right in my actions, I agree that God is right. Because ain't no room for growing. Ain't no room for change if you won't believe what he said. If it called me wrong, if it called me wrong, then I'm just wrong. Because God said I'm wrong. Now I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to get right. Help me to get right. Because we live, you see this in verse 1, we live to do what? To please God. Our Savior pleased him perfectly, didn't he? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, right? That's why we look to Jesus, because he was born of a virgin, because he was absolutely perfect, because he did not sin, he could not sin, and he did not sin, because he is God in the flesh. Wasn't no possible way for him to sin. What that means is God came to get us, and he couldn't fail. Amen? And so we look to him. And because we look to him, we do what? We live for him. We live for him. If you look, how can you say that I appreciate Jesus? You know what appreciation means, right? Something that appreciate means what? It goes up in value, right? And every time I look at Jesus, somebody said, every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him. What? More and more. So that means in my life, he appreciates. And the more he appreciates, the more I appreciate. The more God, the more valuable I become as a tool in the hand of the Lord. The more pure my life becomes. Because Jesus is more valuable to me on today than he was yesterday. I'm talking about practically speaking. Than he was yesterday. I was all right yesterday. But you know what? I got into the Word and I see a little bit more. I got into the Word and I realized today more than I did yesterday how good God has been to me. I realized more and more because I'm growing. I'm growing in him. And if I'm growing in him, he's getting better in my sight and I'm getting better because of it. Amen. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Look here. Look here what it says in verse 8. If I don't get through all of it, I love this. I love this because, again, the context, talking about living pure, a pure life, living morally, that getting rid of sexual perversion out of your life, getting rid of all that stuff, right? And look what he says. Amen. And that goes. This goes for everything principally. He says in verse 8, He therefore that despises not man, but what? See the problem? The offense ultimately is against God. And that's got to be bold in your mind. That's got to be true to you. That I want to please God. I'm walking around here offending God all the time. And I need to be saying, I need to do better. I need to be better. Help me, Lord, to not defraud you as I walk before men, before my brothers in Christ, and then in verse 12, before the world. Before the world. Help me to be honest before the world. Help me to have an honest witness. I'm sitting there trying to tell somebody about Jesus, but my life is a mess. That my life is a mess in the way that I deal with my what? My what? What is this? My body. That's all they can see. All they can see is what you say. All they can see is what you do. That's what it says right here in verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess what? What does it vessel mean right there? Body. To possess it in sanctification, that word right there, you mean purity, holiness, distinction, uniqueness, and what? Honor. That the body is to be honored. The body, you see how important this is? The body is to be honored. Now let me just catch a rabbit right here. Amen. I'm going to chase a rabbit. I'm going to catch him. Amen. That's why I don't believe in cremation. Because the body is to be what? Dealt with in honor. There's a one-to-one correlation with the body that dies and the body that rises. Look at the nails. Feel them. Touch them. Where the nails went in. Touch it where the spear went him aside. This is the resurrected Jesus talking to Thomas. There's a correlation. Who shall take, Paul said, this vile body and fashion it as his glorious body is? See, and that's, so in here we see that in every way We are to honor our body. And all of us do some stuff we ain't got no business doing. Eat what we shouldn't eat. Inhale what we shouldn't inhale. And on and on and on it goes. And in this context, fornication. Amen? God tells us to honor our vessels because the vessel we have is the one we witness with. Amen? The one we witness with. So we ought to take care of our bodies. We ought to know that this is, okay, this is my earth suit to do God's business, to operate for God's glory. Amen? And so we ought to ask God, help me, Lord, to do better. To do better. So you can't seek God. I mean, in verse 1, I said, you can't seek God and the flesh at the same time. You can't pursue them both at the same time. It's either going to be about you and what you want, or it's going to be about God and what God wants. Amen? And the only way we are pleasing to God is when I want the same thing God wants. Not my will, what? Thy will be done. Number 2, you can't please God apart from his word, verse 2. He got instruction. Do you see that? Instruction. You can forget about it. You don't never read your Bible. Don't never study the word. Won't memorize a verse or two. Can't ever refer to the word. How can the Holy Spirit bring back to your remembrance what you don't know? It's critical that what God says becomes the most important thing in your life, in your thinking. What God says must ramble through the corridors of your mind all the time. Verse 3. He says, for this is the will of God, even your what? Sanctification. That you should abstain from what? Now listen here. Because I know you're listening to folk, you're listening to Oprah, and you're listening to Dr. Phil, and you're listening to all these folk, and they rationale. There's no rationalization around God's clear will. I know they're telling you, not just the TV, but your uncle, your auntie, your cousins. I ain't going to be with nobody unless I try, and all this kind of stuff. This, either you're going to trust God and what he said, you're going to trust you, or you're going to trust what their other people say. And I promise you that God's word will never fail you. God's word will never fail you. There's no right. Here's what he says. Is it clear? For this is the will of God. Even your purity, your sanctification, your uniqueness, your stand out. He's called us out of the world. He's called us out of worldly darkness. And he's called us to light. And it's clear. Amen. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. The word fornication, it means, it's the word in the Greek, porneia. The word comes from, that we get the word porn from. That's what the word, so all of it. It covers all of it. It covers adultery. It covers pornography. It covers all facets of sexual immorality. And God says, abstain from it. Abstinence. Amen. That is God's will. Only in the context of marriage is sex to be practiced. Are you with me, young people? Do you see God's word? Is it clear? That's God's will. God's answer to you wanting to have sex is a wife. It is a husband. That's God's provision. And nothing wrong with sex. Nothing wrong with sex, like there's nothing wrong with food. Amen? But done the way God says it is to be done will be a benefit to you, will be a glory to you. Amen. Will be a glory to you. And this is a good lesson. Amen. This is a good lesson. Amen. And this is his will. If I don't say nothing else this morning, you got it. This is his will. This is his will. This is what God wants. This is what God loves. This is what God will bless. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Amen. I want to be blessed. So he says, so again in verse 4, that you should know how to possess your body. Possess your body. Know how to live in this body that God gave you. It is a stewardship. It is something that God has given you to manage. Am I all right? To manage. And then in verse 5, here's the negation. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Well, I don't practice that word forever, and that ain't the first time I practice. I don't practice the word for years. Concupiscence. Yeah, that's it. Concupiscence. I got it now. Okay, and that word means not being in control. That word means fleshly passion. That the old folk called it burning. Amen. Burning. Amen. And so the idea, amen, is that you are not to be subject to your body, but your body is to be subject to you. The idea is the flesh is not supposed to control you. Now, listen, I want to say something carefully here. Just because you get saved, that doesn't mean that the feeling goes away. The flesh is still there. In fact, our whole battle, Christians, listen to me. Our whole life is a battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. Now, watch this. And the number one battle is not the devil. It's not the world. It's the flesh. Because nobody does what they don't want to do. And the only question, because every person in this room will always do their greatest desire. Whatever is dominating you at the moment is what you will do. If a person comes in and stick a gun in your face and say, give me all your money. 9 out of 10 times, you're going to do what? Do you want to give them your money? What's the greatest desire? You want to live. And that's what's going to dominate that decision. You hear me? You got some folks say, I ain't giving you nothing. Some folk, the robber turned around and ran away. And some folk, they died right there on the spot. So you can't predict the outcome. But whatever your greatest desire is, will rule you. And so the challenge of the Christian is to get the word of God in you, is to pray, and is to become so close to God that living for God is your greatest desire. That's the challenge, to grow so that my spirit man is bigger and stronger than my fleshly man. Amen? That's the challenge of the Christian. Because whatever your greatest desire is, it's going to dominate you. So you want to grow up in Christ, to mature in Christ, so that you can dominate your body, so that you can do what Paul said. Paul said this way, I beat my body to bring it under subjection, to bring it under control, so that when the time comes, I'm witnessing, I'm not a castaway. I'm not disqualified to witness. Because your body will disqualify you. Your fleshly living will disqualify you. Okay, well, nobody say, folks, well, you know, I'm just a man. Yeah, I got some fault. I don't care what you say. Nobody's going to listen to you when you're doing the stuff that you're telling them not to do. you want to live for Jesus, you cannot be dominated. Verse 5, you cannot be dominated by fleshly passion. And the flesh is the playground for the devil. What do you think he whispering in your ear about? He is whispering in your ear about those fleshly passions and those fleshly desires, and he's deceiving you and telling you, oh, ain't nothing wrong with that. Man, them Christians don't know what they're talking about down there. You, that Bible is old. It's antiquated. You don't have to. Did God really say? That's it right there. It is his phrase. Listen, church, his phrase haven't changed. He always used the same language. Do you really have to believe that? Do you really have to do that? Do it take all that? Did God really say? He always, and I like what Pastor Joseph said. Pastor Joseph said something one time that stuck with me. He said, the devil always speaks second. Because he always doing what? Lying on God. Lying about what? What God has spoken first to you. Because if there's no law, there's no transgression. So he gives us his law. He tells us what's true. He tells us what's good. And then here come the devil saying, you ain't got to do all that. It's all right. Oh, God will forgive you. He got lies. he got lies. That ain't no lie. God will forgive you, but will you repent? Will you be granted repentance? Will you be able to repent? Some folks say, well, I'm going to just try this crack one time. And they tried crack and never went back because they couldn't repent. They couldn't get off of it. You see what I'm saying? So what's the better thing to do? God does not desire sacrifice, amen, but obedience. That's what God desires. Amen. So don't listen to the devil's what? Lies. And your flesh is his playground. And your flesh is what make his voice sound good. If you didn't have flesh, you wouldn't pay him no attention. That's why he ain't going to come to you talking about, you know, he come to a fish, say, fish, you want some barbecue? Fish don't like no barbecue. Don't want no barbecue. Say, fish, you want some worms? Fish want the worm, right? He don't come to you talking about no worms. Mm-hmm. Y'all, when you want to eat these worms? The devil, what's wrong with you? See, he going to come with what you like. And your flesh is going, and then you're going to just keep on listening to him. You keep on listening to that. I told you earlier that the music you listen to, you listening to all that stuff, Beyonce and Jay-Z and all them other people out there that's talking all that old nasty, cruddy stuff that is completely contrary to the word of God. Yeah, you won't pick up your Bible and read your Bible, but you listen to that mess. And you think you're pleasing to God. We've been called, the name of the lesson is a new way of life, a new way of living, a newness of life. That's what we've been called to. That's what we've been called to. Do you hear me? And then he goes on in verse number 6. He says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Now, he again, in the context, he's talking about fornication. He's talking about defrauding your brother in any kind of way. Whenever you control by the flesh, you're going to end up hurting people. Because that's what the flesh causes you to do. It causes you to think me, I, my. Nobody but me. And how I feel. The Christianity is called to care more for your brother, to put others, prefer others before yourself. That's what Christianity calls us to do unto others, not as they do unto you, but to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen? To do good unto all men, but especially those that are in the household of faith, to put and see that your life puts no stumbling block in your brother's way. Am I my brother's keeper? See, this is the stuff. This is the word of God. This is the stuff that pleases God. And this is the stuff that compels us to live for God. You don't care about nobody else. You'll never live for God. How you say you love me and you don't care about your brother who you see every day? That all of his word, everything in his word compels us. That's not some sister you sit next to be your fleshly eyepiece, your eye candy. That's your sister in Christ. That's your brother in Christ. That's your mother in Christ, your father in Christ. That ought to determine how we as Christians see one another. If you don't believe this stuff, it won't do you no good. And you just come with your own little worldly philosophy, stuff you get from TV, stuff you get from your cousins, stuff you get from your brothers and sisters, I'm talking about fleshly, stuff you, your family. Amen. No, this is a new life, amen, because the Lord, he says in verse 6, because the Lord is, now watch this, this is important, this is judgment right here, this is severe, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. You better understand that, amen, as we also have forewarned, he forewarned, this is caution, this is a warning, we have forewarned you, and testify that the Lord is going to get you. Now, let me say this. Folk like to minimize, y'all, I've said this many times. Folk like to minimize that word, fear the Lord. Come on, well, it just means to reverence him. It just means to respect him. That's euphemism, y'all. No, fear means just that. I'm scared to sin before God. I'm afraid to sin before God. Why? Because this ain't Old Testament. Somebody, that's the God of the Old Testament. You know, I can't stand that God of New Testament. Now, the God of the New Testament, he's so gentle. No. This is the New Testament God that Paul is talking about. He says, the Lord is an avenger of all such. And fornication leads to disease. Somebody say, well, they caught AIDS or they caught. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. They didn't catch AIDS and God didn't know it. They didn't catch disease. She didn't get pregnant and God didn't know she was going to get pregnant and didn't know that the baby daddy was going to leave her. God knew all of that. And then they, we as the church, we so soft on it. Because they used to bring the person down before the church and they would rebuke them and they tell them they got to apologize. Because they done what? They have offended the Lord. And so they told me, they said, well, you know, they brought the woman, but they didn't bring the man. You know why they didn't bring the man? Why they didn't bring the man? Because he ain't belong to the church. What can they do with him? They couldn't do nothing with him. Well, all of them didn't belong to the church. Yeah, some of them belong to the church. When they belong to the church, you know what happened? It was a wedding next week. All by myself. This stuff is serious. God is an avenger of all such things. We better learn, church. I got to go. I got 2 minutes before I'm supposed to be in church. God, listen. God is serious, church. And he's serious about us living for him. This is serious business. And if we don't take sin serious, if we don't take the things of God serious, amen, God's not going to bless us. God's not going to bless us. And then I'm going to say this and I'm through. You know how you stop doing wrong? What do you do? you start doing right. So you can't, well, I'ma stop lying. Well, you better start telling the truth then. I'ma stop stealing. You ain't gonna stop stealing unless you start giving. People who give don't steal. Am I making any sense? You got to. Wait a minute. Let me look at the lesson. Let me prove it. Look at verse 11. What does he say? And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to what? Work with your own hands. An idle, somebody listen to grandma. What they said? An idle mind is a devil workshop. Idle mind is a devil's workshop. You got to be busy doing what God put you on earth to do. That's what a vocation is. And I'm not just talking about preaching. I'm not just talking about teaching and all that in the church. I'm talking about if God made you a garbage man, you better be on that truck. When you ain't on that truck, if you got some more energy, you ought to be trying to do it on the side. And if God called you to do it, it ain't no effort in doing it. Hey man, God called me to preach. You know what? Folk called me 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm don't bother me one bit. I stay on the phone 4 or 5 hours talking to people about the Lord because that's what God gave me. I love doing it. And when you find what God called you to do, you will love doing it. And let me tell you something. When you find what you love to do for the Lord, guess what? You're going to fight anything that stop you from doing it. You're going to fight anything that because so much fulfillment, so much joy, so much peace, so much contentment, so much fulfillment in doing what God has told you to do. And that helps you to overcome all of these worldly addictions and all of this sin and all the weights that hindering you from doing that God has called you to do. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm going to ask, amen, Pastor Griffin to open doors of the church. Thank you. Amen.
Okay, brother.